NBC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral with you.
The city needs saving.
What? How are we going to do this little time?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
I'm from the future.
Because you can inspire me.
My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and the master of exorcism.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
You should none of you really heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
What's up, guys? Welcome. You are listening to DC on CW, the Flash Edition on Rayman Digital. You can find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher. Search DC on CW. Once you get there, leave us a review. It helps the show out. You can also find us on Spotify if you search DC on CW on Spotify. I am your show host, Ryan Denton, and in the studio with me today is Bobby Doherty.
Hello, hello.
And Stephen Crouch.
What's up?
You know, not much.
Thanks for asking.
Thank you for asking. It's very nice of you. Oh, God. Man,
You're back.
I'm back. I missed last week. I watched all the episodes that I, like, so I watched the two episodes I missed back to back. So, like, I watched Flash Arrow from last week, and then I watched Flash Arrow for this week.
And when we get into the actual discussion, I'm glad that you watched them like that, because I have some serious, like, plot questions.
Yeah, so, like, I'm actually excited. So, guys, Bob hasn't told me anything about what he wants to ask me, so my reaction on here will be completely genuine.
And I think watching them back to back will help with this.
So. Yes.
Does this tie into stuff that we talked about?
No, not at all. Like, okay. I just have a theory, and we'll
Bob's tease theories. It. So. Ooh, a little feather.
Yes.
Just a little feather on the beehole.
What?
Huh? What? Wait, it's Valentine's Day, dude.
Not fucking is your
that
pillows.
What, is that what you're into?
it's an exit, not an entrance, but it's okay to
it's get a
little
down.
It's okay to get a little feather in there every now and then. A little tickle. What, dude?
You fucking Big Bird?
Maybe. You jealous?
Maybe.
All right, that's what I thought. Anyways, today we'll be breaking down and discussing Flash Season 5, Episode 14, Cause and Excess. Sorry.
Should have been Run Nora Run.
Oh.
It actually should have been.
Nora keeps running back in time to attempt to stop a death in Team Flash. In other words, Groundhog Day.
Or Happy Death Day. Or Happy Death Day 2.
I have not seen Happy Death Day.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I assume it's the same theory.
Over and over again?
Keep reliving somebody's death, right?
You know, man, this, I always kind of liked this idea. I mean, I love Groundhog
Day. Haven't we had a Groundhog Day episode?
I feel like we have.
Like four of them.
Okay. I just was making sure. I mean, after 300 and whatever shows, shit runs together now.
Yeah, you get this season into a season five, you're like, God, did we do that? I don't fucking remember. It's fucking...
It just seemed very familiar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into some news. We've got a couple articles here. The first one, though, kind of makes me sad. Actually makes me really sad. Who am I kidding? The Flash, Carlos Valdez reportedly leaving the CW series. Carlos Valdez, obviously, guys, Cisco, is reportedly leaving the CW series after season 5. Valdez has been a series regular since the beginning of DC TV show. Season 2 episode of Arrow is when his first showed up as Cisco. So it says here, according to Discussing Film, Valdez will not return to The Flash in season 6. The new rumor cites Valdez's background in Broadway as a reason for his upcoming departure. If the rumor is to be believed, Valdez is planning on leaving The Flash to resume his Broadway career. The door will still be open for him to return in a lesser capacity, but he will no longer be a series regular. We Got This Covered has reported a similar rumor. So this is coming from two different things, and I'm not
sure. Two different internet sources that don't mean shit.
That don't mean jack shit until it's actually announced.
Is it from CW or Cisco?
Or Entertainment Weekly?
Yeah.
Then we'll say.
Or TV Line?
Yeah.
But didn't we hypothesize this a while back? Like,
Yes, and I always wonder, and that's what I kind of wanted to discuss, is this why he's disappearing so much?
Why, because we hypothesized it?
Yes, because we've wished it.
Yeah, they were listening to us. Yeah, and they were
oh my God, they're so right.
But he has been disappearing, right? He's been missing for episodes.
Yeah, because he missed last week's.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they are to go with our hypothesis. Maybe they are slowly drawing him back. So when he comes back as a kind of part-time cast member, it doesn't hit us as hard by slowly scaling back how much he shows up. Now you look at it where, okay, he hasn't showed up that much, so if he shows up as a part-timer, we're okay with it.
So, again, you can scream at me after I say this, but on Supergirl, when Jeremy Jordan did the exact same thing this season, and they didn't bring him back at all.
No, but he hasn't been back once.
No, he won't at all. They've already said that he will not be back this year at all.
So, okay.
So you wonder,
which character is that? Because
he's their Cisco.
Their Cisco.
Okay.
So he left to go back to Broadway, and they said that he was going to show up this season, and then halfway through the season, they're like, no, Jeremy Jordan's not coming back this week or this year at all.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if they're doing that to where it's like, oh, well, people won't be mad if as long as he's making appearances, and then halfway through next season, we'll be reading an article and be like, oh, Cisco's not going to return at all.
That's really a bummer, dude, because this is like...
I almost feel like he has to be in the crossover at the beginning, though. Like, and he has to be in the Crisis.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I feel everybody has to be in Crisis.
I'm a little... I'm actually... This kind of upsets me, to be completely honest. Dude, this is one of our favorite characters, right?
Yes. And that's what it was on Supergirl. Wynn was the same way. He very quickly won you over, like, very quickly. And he has the same kind of... He plays a similar role, or played a similar role. And he kind of played almost... I don't want to say the heart, but kind of the heart that brings the group together. And when he left, it was a big bummer. So I'm kind of worried about this one.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say. I look at Cisco as the heart of this team.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one that brings levity, except for when he was emo Cisco.
Yeah, but his brother just died. Leave him alone.
Yeah, well, I'm not attacking him. I'm just saying, you know,
than emo Barry.
That's very true. Emo Barry is horrible. But I just... This bums me out because this is, again, one of our favorite characters. So, like, I'm happy for him, right? Like,
And it's always one of those things that, you know, people might see be going to Broadway as, like, a downgrade from being on a show. But this man, obviously, we've played his music in the past. He likes to sing. He likes to do the Broadway thing.
Yeah.
You know, you think of a lot of the bigger stars these days actually go to Broadway a lot.
It may not have the number of viewers that a television show, but it's Broadway.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad we have that now recorded. Yeah, I feel like that's a drop for sure, dude.
Yeah.
But it's...
I just worry about, like, the chemistry of the show and who's going to do what. Because even when he's been gone this season, it's brought a completely different feel to the show that hasn't, like, been there. It's like, who is going to be that person now?
Well, I think Ralph. I think Ralph maybe has to step up.
But Cisco, his absence has been noticeable.
Yes.
Like, extremely noticeable.
Not like Wally when he disappeared and we were like, oh, who cares?
Yeah.
I've been gone for a month.
And we didn't know. Oh, darn. It was great.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I think this one will be felt for sure. And I think you could maybe fill that slot with Ralph, but it still won't be the same.
It won't be the same because this is an original cast member, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing by taking...
Does he take the cure?
No. I don't think they do it where he just...
Like completely write him
off
like that.
That's a huge write-off. I
hope that he gets what he's always wanted and gets...
Finds love.
I hope he goes to the other Earth and hooks up with... What's her face?
Carmella?
Gypsy?
Gypsy.
You really think he's gonna? He's got this chick he's got now, dude.
I think that'd be good. If they're not even together, Asian broad.
Yeah, dude, he's gonna lay pipe on that.
Man, no, he's not.
Yes, he
fucked that up like 17 times.
And at the
52
end,
times,
and he got it right. He got it right at the end, there, dude.
I'm not buying it.
Well, you know what? That's why you don't write for the shows.
Well, I see. I always just wonder if like the cure thing is gonna be like we have to test it on somebody,
and he's gonna volunteer himself.
And then we can get, because we've always looked at the vibe as a crutch.
Yeah, I like pre-vibe Cisco better anyways, personally.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, because they really had, like, they kind of have used the vibe thing as a crutch. We can't figure it out. Cisco, touch this.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to touch your dick again.
Well, last night was just...
It was clean.
You're good. She didn't have an STD.
He vibed a lot last night. Like
he did.
He was vibrating.
So
I would have vibrated if I was sitting in front of her, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yellow fever.
I had a vibrate. Oh yeah. Why do you think I'm going to Japan for 2 weeks? Anyways,
young Asian boys.
Yeah. That's Thailand. That's Thailand, dude. I'm not going there.
Right. He's saying Japan. What he really means is Thailand.
It's just a stopover.
Oh, yeah. This is a stopover, guys.
There's no direct flights to Thailand.
You guys are fucking stupid. Anyways.
God.
Our next article is another kind of a – this one would make sense. So Arrowverse could go to Warner Media Service once Netflix deal expires. In the current streaming TV landscape, Netflix is the home of Arrowverse. Obviously, that's where all the shows after the next season airs, the previous season is put up on Netflix. Upon completing their full season airings on the home network, the CW's deal with Netflix expires this spring. However, and Warner Media's upcoming streaming platform is very interested in gobbling up Arrow, The Flash, and every other corner of the DC CW universe. Kevin Reilly, president of TBS and TNT, and chief creative officer of Turner Entertainment, told TV Line that when it comes to the CW shows, we're very interested in putting that on our platform. In terms of genre shows, this would include Arrow, Flash, DC, Legends of Tomorrow, Black Lightning, and Supergirl. The ongoing shenanigans on Riverdale would be included. Who cares about that?
Riverdale's actually good.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways, I stand corrected.
What do you feel about why we have a DC and a Warner Brothers service?
I don't understand this. So I think...
like, are we getting to that point to where we're going to have a $100 streaming bill?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, dude. I think we're very close already now, as is. I mean, I pay for Netflix. I pay for Hulu. I pay for the premium, so I don't have to listen to fucking commercials. HBO Go, so I can watch Game of Thrones. What else do I have for Crunchyroll and a couple other ones, dude? Like, I'm very close to $50 already.
We got Netflix, HBO, and Hulu. Actually, HBO we split with Rob. And so
thievery.
And then Spotify. So yeah.
I mean, I just don't understand why Warner Brothers, and then there has to be a DC one too as well. Like, you either put them under the same thing.
Look, at the end of the day, I'm not at all surprised. They can't get their movie shit together. You really think they're going to get their TV shit together?
Well, I just think...
well, that's...
or their streaming shit together. Like,
well, I always wonder because I want to see how the Disney plan turns out because, you know, they're talking about the Disney Plus and then the adult themes are going to go to Hulu. And then you have ESPN Plus also. That's part of ABC, you know, part of the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we're going to start getting package bundle deals.
I'm just waiting for the mouse to buy DC stuff. Then it's just all full bore monopoly at that point.
I wouldn't mind if it was a bundle deal, but I just don't feel like I really need to be paying for. And really, what I would want them to do is CBS is a 50% stakeholder in the CW shows. CBS already has a premium service. Why does Warner Brothers need their own separate? Why not
to make
leverage
money.
Their – I understand, but you could also leverage your CBS side of the house, which, again, is a 50% stake in your company for the CW shows, and get more people over there. And then, you know, you don't feel as bad because not only are you getting that, then you're getting the CBS shows and Star Trek and shit that they're doing on that area.
It just – it doesn't – I don't understand this. Everyone seems to have like a streaming service. You know, it seems like
I keep waiting for like Cox to come out and be like, come back to us. We'll do it for $20. And everybody like, everyone that just, fucking makes sense.
Well, I mean, that would make sense. Cox, you know, nickels and dimes you out of everyone out. And they got rid of Google Fiber trying to come into the valley here. So I think it's one of those things where everyone's trying to make a piece of the streaming service because they figured out that nobody buys fucking TV packages anymore or at the most part.
No, and they're sending me shit in the mail all the time to try to get to woo me into.
I get it all the time too.
Cox sucks Cox.
Literally.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
No, thank you. Yeah. I'll pass.
Before we go, I want to thank Andrew, you know, Badger Friend 2010 for tweeting this to us, bring it up in the discussion. So if you guys see any articles out there that you want us to talk about, go ahead and send it to us. We'll talk about anything.
Yeah.
Show-related, at least.
Well, yeah, if it's got DC in it, we'll probably talk about it.
So, but I don't know. I, I'm I remember I dropped DirecTV probably 2 years ago, and I was paying so much fucking money for it, and I don't regret it. And here's the other thing. It just sucks when it's like, oh, it's only $7.
Yeah, but that $7 adds up.
Yeah. And so, like, at least I've gotten into the habit of, like, I didn't have Netflix until Punisher came out because it was like, I wasn't watching anything. What's the point?
Really?
Yeah.
You just, no. Did you get rid of it or something?
Yeah. Well, my credit card got stolen over Christmas.
Oh, and you just said fuck it.
And I just fuck it. Why? I'm not watching it anyways. All right. You know, when I really needed it, I went and updated my credit card, and they're like, "All right, you're back active again." I do that thing with New Japan also.
Yeah,
I like New Japan Wrestling. I don't pay for their app unless it's a pay per view time, and it's still cheaper to pay $9 for the month than it is to buy a pay per view.
But what's really crazy, or I mean, I guess I can see some logic to it, but it frustrates me is when you have a DC Universe app,
yes,
and you have a whole slew of shows that are. A comic related thing, not just, but you have Riverdale, you have all these things. Why are those not all
part
together?
Of it. Yes.
Under one umbrella.
Well, what doesn't make any sense is you.
And they're all Berlanti.
So you DC Universe, and they're, you know, DC kills the animated movies. Like, why would you not want the TV shows that are very popular to be on there too, as well, with all the movies about the characters that are literally in the TV show? It makes no fucking sense to me. It's a way for Warner Brothers to make more money. It's hands down is what it is. And it's, you know, they're a $1 billion company already.
As if they're not making all the monies.
Hey, dude. Cash is king. Look at the mouse. Cash is king. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about season 5, episode 14, Cause and Excess. But first, quick break.
Who's got two thumbs and can see through the dimensional vibrations of the multiverse? This guy.
That guy.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
Great point. I didn't even think of that until you said it. That Ash Tyler is that archetype.
He is that archetype.
He's the 7 of 9,
but he's different because think how different and terrible as a character that must feel like being part human and part Klingon. You are dealing with something that wants to kill.
Do you think he has two dicks like the Klingon? Yo, burn him. I grew my other dick back.
I grew my other dick back.
I know when we were together, I didn't have it.
I'll give you
But now that I'm not trying to hide, they allowed it to grow back. My Klingon DNA took over for a little bit, but just in the penis area.
Just so
I got
the penis area.
I got one 9-inch penis, and I got one 12-inch penis. Look out. Look out, ladies.
I put a baby in Laurel. Oh. What do you think I could do to you?
I put a baby in Laurel and a baby in Burnham at the same time.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ. That devolved very, very quickly.
Star Trek from the Holodeck. Exclusively on Rain Man Digital.
End simulation.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man.
A woman has shot herself while using Snapchat.
Rightfully so.
Please tell me she's dead.
Jesus. Hey, I second that.
No, if you're stupid enough to take a selfie with a gun that has live ammunition in it,
yes,
and it goes off, Darwinism. Mm-hmm.
Well, they took the gun filter away, so she had to use a real gun.
Foolishly playing with her uncle's .40 caliber pistol when she pulled the trigger and shot her cell phone.
Unfortunately, she's dead.
.40 caliber is not a small round.
Powell suffered.
What's going on over there? I'm just Snapchatting, Dad.
Come on, Quantum Leap song.
Quantum Leap
song. Trying to find out Dr. Snapchat gets home. Please hurry up with the Snapchat, Debbie.
She came.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, DEAL30, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy. And for your viewing pleasure, 6 free spicy movies on DVD, plus
free shipping.
Always sent in discreet packaging. So go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code DEAL30. Again, that's DEAL30, because without it, no free stuff. That's DEAL30 at adamandeve.com.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital, DC on CW.
All right, guys, we are back, and we are going to talk about Season 5, Episode 14, Cause and Excess. This one was directed by Rachel Talalay. I think I got that right, dude. I'm going with it. Todd Helbing, and this was written by Todd Helbing and Jeff Hirsch. So the first thing, so this episode was a little bit different, guys. So this was basically Groundhog Day. Let's just say that.
Wait, you said it was different? It wasn't different. We've had this before.
I meant like what we're typically used to. Okay. Just because we've had it before doesn't mean. So this one was really kind of difficult to hit points and stuff. But I think what we're going to start off here with is Bob has a theory on this.
More than a theory.
Well, okay. So it's not really a theory about like the plot point of the show. Okay. So bear with me for a second.
Okay.
While I get this all out.
Bob's going to black out here. Okay.
No. It has nothing to do with blackout. Last week, we talked about this cure being done, and they went to Cicada went onto the underground to go find the application device.
Right.
This week, we show up, and Cisco figures out how to solve the formula to make the cure, and then they have to do the thing in the Speed Force to make the cure, you know, mature or whatever faster.
Okay.
Was this out of order?
Shouldn't they have matured it first before?
No. Did they reverse the way that these shows should have went? Remember, last week was Groundhog's Day. This would have made sense to run it. Did they reverse these shows knowing we're going into a midi hiatus and this was a better ending?
Because
we talked about it last week a little bit to where it's just like, oh, cool, we have the cure. Now we're going to give it to Cicada. We just have to do this. It wasn't, oh, cool, we only have to wait 60 days for this to happen. The cure was already there and in the icebox.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Little out of order.
Right? Am I wrong? Because I was watching this going, did I completely miss what happened last week? Because it just felt different and weird. Well, and if you look at the Sherlock thing, she spent all last week to try to get him to fall in love and to distract him. This week, that wasn't even part of the story, but it would make sense later on because now he obviously knows something's up because this bitch keeps running back in time and he figures it out and then he's studying through the book again. And then last week, they show him putting the book away and starting to like stalk his Earth One wife.
So let me ask you this then. Do you feel like they showed these out of order then?
That's what I mean, yeah.
Or either they showed them out of order, but there's certain plot points that wouldn't work if they were the other order. However, that's not to say that when they were going and looking at the script later during filming, they're like, oh, wait. Like, it could have been one of those hiccups where in the writer's room, they just skipped a beat and didn't realize it.
Yeah, but a fuck up like that means now you've got to go back and do reshoots and have everyone put the clothes on that they had in that episode. That's a huge fuck up.
What I'm saying is they could have screwed up on one week and going into the next week were like, shit. And to Bob's point, we know we're gonna have a break or whatever. Like, there's something weird, Bob. You're definitely right. There's something weird about what
happened. It does seem like the themes were really weird. I mean, like last week was, like you said, Bob, Sherlock was hot on the trails of Nora, and then all of a sudden, you know, she makes him fall in love, and he puts the book away, and then this episode, this
he finishes
week,
with he's looking finished, at the book.
Yeah, that's so weird. And I wonder if it's because, well, see, I can look at that one and kind of in my headcanon, that one kind of makes sense as he sees her. He figures out that she's going back in time. But even still, he says in this episode, who is your accomplice? When he like opens the book back up, right? Man, maybe you're, I think you're right.
Something is amiss.
Again, it just felt weird for me. And
it was.
And I'm glad I'm not crazy, because legitimately, you ever watch a show and you're like, I feel like I missed something or something just didn't feel right to me.
Now, typically when I do that, I just actually don't watch the episode and forget. And then I have to sit here and watch it in the studio. Well,
I wanted to ask you, because I know you watch them like within relatively like hours of each other.
I think what you're on to something here. I wonder too if some points were added, or like it seems like it was done.
They did some kind of weird editing.
Like the editing made it look weird, because I can understand how these could be in the order that they're in, that we see them. But I also understand how, to your point, they could have been reversed and showed one. And I think this one was a good. I think this is ultimately why I think this is okay. Is because we're on a break, right? We have like a couple weeks. Break.
Yeah, don't come back till March. So okay. Yeah, like 3 weeks.
So my thought process on this is, why not end on a lighthearted episode like what we ended with this week, but to go on a 3 week break. But to your point, I see aspects of last week, and then because I didn't get to talk about last week, I see aspects of how last week could be, you know, in a spot to go into that 3 week break. I think this makes sense to have this one here just because it gives us a lighthearted kind of exit for a 3 week break. Doing the whole Groundhog Day type storyline.
Well, hold on though. Think about this. When was what was the air date on the last episode, Bob? Do you know?
I can look it up.
It was Groundhog Day week.
That's my point.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's why I thought maybe it was off. It would have been the 5th.
It would
Groundhog Day would have been the 2nd.
So we know that they run a tight production and they're literally doing episodes within a week, but we don't know when these particular episodes were shot and done. It could have been done in, you know, December, January, whatever. It could have been done maybe
before the break, yeah.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit before the break. They're still pretty tight. But this could have been a case of where maybe the people at the CW aired them backwards.
Like not on purpose, but like maybe an accident.
Yeah. And this is not, this has happened before intentionally. And
because we had it happen on Supergirl when the bombing happened and a bombing happened in the thing. And they're like, yeah, this is way too fucking close to each other. We're not going to show that.
Yeah. Or hell, remember Firefly? They did that on purpose. Firefly was totally aired out of order.
I wonder. So my question is on this is. Was this – so I think we're all in consensus that this is a little screwy, that maybe something
screwy.
Was – so obviously we're not 100% saying they were shown out of order, but it would make sense that they were shown out of order. Well, and I wonder too, like – so let's look at last week and this week's episode, okay? And let's look at the consensus of what happened in the episode. The two things that happen that are equivalent to these main story arc really don't – what I mean by is like they could be shown either or and still make sense.
I disagree. Bob already made the best point.
I understand with
the cure.
Vial. Right. Yeah, the cure. But so, okay, let's look at that in the aspect of the main storyline. Okay?
For Cicada.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yes, it is important, but by any means, by showing them either or, it's not going to kill the main story arc of Cicada.
It's not.
So what I'm looking at is this is – I'm thinking that when they looked at these two episodes together and they were picking the order that they were going to show these, I think they knew they were going to be on a three-week break and they were going to go, okay, let's end with the lighthearted good ending like this week's episode, and said, let's put that here instead of showing that in Groundhog Week.
Well, yes, and it almost makes you wonder if there was pieces from two different scripts
possibly
that edited together.
Correct. Like
that's
they
possible.
Took pieces for whatever reason, but now when you juxtapose them and look at them,
I wish we could talk to Mike and just figure out like the logistics of like more of the unions and all that other stuff. Could you technically take a piece directed and written by somebody and put it in another show and have it that way. Because the only thing that was kind of it confuses me on it is that Cicada is on the hunt for Iris West. Iris West didn't find him till last week. But then again, she could go on the hunt not knowing who Cicada was until this week, you know, in finding that house. So that was the other thing that was kind of confusing, you know, when I started thinking about it, was that him trying to stalk Team Flash this week makes sense because Iris went after, he goes in to find Iris, sees that they all have that picture and going after him. And, you know, could that go out of order? That out of order aspect of the story, the plot makes sense.
Right.
To where she broke in last week, if, you know, they reversed it, would it make sense?
Yeah, that one does make sense.
And so that was the only part of the episode that, like, I could see actually following through with the plot points. But again, the Sherlock being off the case and then the cure, you know, two minor plot points this season that could end up being a major thing later were completely ignored. Like this week, I almost expected Wells to be in there trying to research on why his wife here is a meta.
Yeah. And that completely was like, oh, we don't even give a shit about it this week. We're not even going to talk about it.
Yeah, but I mean, even still, like, I can understand why they're not even going to talk about it. They've got much bigger things to
well, yeah,
to,
there's a lot going
about.
On. Don't get me wrong. But when you plant seeds like that
right.
I mean, that was a pretty big seed at the end of the episode. But, and then to, like, go into the next episode and completely not even talk about it once.
Right, but you have to understand that this episode this week was Nora-centric. So there's no reason to talk about that when she's groundhog daying the entire episode. You don't even bring it up. There's no reason to, because this is focused on Nora.
Well, I would disagree in that. I think you have to address it in some way, because otherwise your continuity has big gaps. You don't have to go in depth, but you should keep certain seeds continually fertilized.
I understand your point there, but I totally disagree with that, because this, if you look at this episode in a whole, okay, and what this episode was with Nora and Groundhog's Day, this was technically a filler episode. So with this, we're still getting some major plot points, but the whole episode was, and I've got a theory on why this episode in general too as well, so which we'll talk about a little bit later, but they're doing something specific with Nora.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode was all about her. So to have her and Cisco, technically speaking, if you really want to look at it. So if you, this episode makes sense. Yes, that was a bombshell, but let's be honest. We literally didn't know about, we knew about Sherlock's ex-wives, but we'd never seen him until last episode.
Sure.
So for her to just show up and then for that, like it really wasn't on my mind. Like, oh, Sherlock's wife is a meta. Oh, my God. Like, I really don't.
Again, and the only reason it was on my mind was because it was an obvious distraction put
right.
together by
exactly.
Nora yes. and Reverse Flash.
Yes. And to that point, if it didn't matter.
No, it matters.
But hold on. If it didn't matter in the grand scheme, then why even put it in there to begin with?
It matters. It absolutely matters. It matters to get his mind off what he's doing with Nora, trying to track her down. But at the same time, he blasé at the very end goes, oh, you're a meta, and that's it. We know that he's trying to chase her down to obviously to get his – Nora's having him chase her down to get her, you know, plot point or whatever. But to not mention it in this episode, it really didn't bother me at all. This is something that if it is going to be bigger – I'm agreeing with you, by the way. I feel like – I understand why cool. they didn't, but I think if it's going to be bigger and this is going to be the huge reason why he kind of forgets – about that, then it makes sense. And we need an actual portion of an episode to be dedicated
yeah,
towards that.
To bring it home, bookend it. But I will say the last couple of episodes we've pointed out felt like fillers. And while, yes, this one was a filler, compared to the season or series as a whole, it didn't feel as much of a filler, especially since we've seen episodes literally Barry doing this exact same thing.
Right.
There's kind of a poetry to that.
Right.
And so I feel it's much less of a filler because of that compared to the other ones.
I just don't like, I think my biggest question about this episode with Nora going back 52 fucking times, we've seen Barry go back once and fuck up an entire timeline. Right?
Yeah, what did she shit
yeah,
over?
Yeah, what the hell did she fuck up in 52 times? Like, we shit on Barry a lot about, you know, him fucking up the timeline, but you know, we've seen him go back and fuck things up. Now, he's gone way far back.
He's told her repeatedly what not to do.
Right.
And in this very episode, told her just to slow down, take a breather, assess the situation. And she did none of those things. 52 times she did none of those things.
You know, and I actually enjoyed
Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah, yes. That's literally what it was. Like, and I like these plot. I love that movie, by the way.
Honestly, if you guys have never seen Live, Die, Repeat, or better known in the theaters as Edge of Tomorrow, and nobody knew what the fuck it was about.
Dude, that's one of the better films.
Better, like, yes, movies.
It was
the same type of plot.
Yeah, same type of plot where, you know, in the movie, Tom Cruise goes back. Like,
until he can switch that one.
Yeah, to that one problem. And I think that's – I like these story arcs. I mean, fuck, I love Groundhog's Day with Bill Murray. It's a great movie.
Classic.
It's a classic. And this storyline and story plot of this episode was awesome. And I think it gave us a look of kind of the multiple situations. I'm not going to lie, I love the fact that Cisco kept going on the date and just couldn't see the writing on the wall that he just needed to be himself. He kept trying to be everything like that he thinks she would be into.
Yeah, because Crazy Pants Ralph went and stalked her.
I legit want a copy of his book. I really hope
that's going to be one of those props that people are going to be pushing for.
On the prop store trying to get it.
I want it, dude. I would buy it. I think it'd be great. You would. Of course I would, dude. But I love this.
Shouldn't be disappointed when it's just papers.
Oh.
There's nothing, no actual
stuff in it. I do, and I did enjoy this plot point. I think it was fun. It gave us a couple different angles. It gave us a look at Nora and just how she reacted to each one of these different plots. So I really did enjoy the storyline. I don't know about you guys. I mean, I know we've been ragging on Nora a lot lately, but this was actually really good plot.
I loved it. I think this was an opportunity. I mean, again, had it aired where it would have made sense in the scheme of Groundhog's Day.
Sorry to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, it would have been good, but if they had done that. But there's opportunities, I think, obviously, to do this again. I would love to have a more tongue-in-cheek Groundhog Day reference, like actually have a character in it,
like them waking up like he does every morning.
You want Punxsutawney Phil to show up?
I want a random character like Ned Ryerson. Ned Ryerson.
Oh, like that is.
And then
one
he punches him right in the face.
Is one of the better parts of that movie.
You like do something fun like that, like a wink, wink, you know.
But yeah, I mean,
I know where it was. It was the Legends of Tomorrow last year. They had a Groundhog Day, and the chick learned how to play guitar because she couldn't figure out how.
What's her face? She kept dying, right? Vixen. It's not Vixen. What's her face?
Talia. I can't think right now either. But Legends of Tomorrow. They did this.
Ship kept blowing up.
Yeah, and so she just started learning how to play violin and drums, and because she knew she was going to die anyways, and she couldn't figure it out, so she started eating. They did something like that exactly on Legends.
Really?
I was trying to think of where it was, but she'd be like, "Well, I'm going to die anyways," and she started eating all these fucking cupcakes.
Yeah,
she'd feel sick to the stomach, and she'd die, and she'd wake up again, and it'd be right back to where she was,
which is straight out of Groundhog's
yes.
Day. Okay.
I remember that episode.
That's hilarious.
I was like, I feel like this happened recently on one of the shows. All right. I feel better now.
That was racking your brain, wasn't it?
It was. It really was.
I don't even know why, but is there just a reason why she didn't just right off the rip tell them what's going on? Like, I feel like.
Because they never tell anybody anything, and they keep secrets.
It's so amazing to me. Like, that is the theme of Arrowverse. Not just
the
secret
verse.
Yeah.
The secret verse. It really is. I feel like.
What's your favorite secret verse show? Secret Flash.
Arrow. Secret Pants Arrow. I just feel like this plot, if, you know, two or three times she fails, like, why wouldn't she
start bringing people in?
Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you think that your dad has had a situation like this before?
Do you think it was because they told her no?
That she didn't want them to know that she was going back in time.
Do you think things like this are why she ends up getting the chip?
Yeah, everything that we
all
see.
All of these things are why she gets the chip.
She's getting that chip for
and,
sure.
And hopefully, at some point, she wakes up and realizes, like, oh, I've done nothing good. I've repeatedly screwed up. No wonder my mom was such a bitch. Like, I'm a horrible person.
Yeah.
Horrible person isn't the right thing. She's not a horrible person.
She's rogue.
Yeah.
We'll
get into that more after the break.
Yeah. I just feel like, you know, this was a fun episode. I
did appreciate how they figured it out, Sisko and
right.
Like even Wells. That character has morphed a lot, and I think it's because they've learned how to write him that he's not so annoying. This version of Wells.
Yeah, Sherlock.
Yeah. That you see him recognizing stuff. And again, that's part of the, you know, if the whole wife thing, I feel like if it was now, he'd be more distracted. But, you know, his visibly and being able to sit there and watch her react all the time and figure things out, you know, it's good writing on their behalf and good use of the character, which if he would ask me what are we on, 13, 14?
Yeah, 13 or 14, I think.
Yeah, whatever, 12 weeks ago when he showed up for the first time, I'm like, that. There's going to be no redeemable qualities for this man.
I totally would have agreed. we laugh, but I totally would have agreed with you. I mean, I legit.
I mean, this is like the Mad Max version. You know, I was like, what the fuck did you bring that for? And I would have felt the same way about this character.
Yeah, I think now he's become I think we say this about every version of Wells that we start off not liking, and then we're like, oh my god, he's a viable, you know, to the team now. But no, I would agree with you, Bob. I think 12 weeks ago, I would have told you that I hated it. Like, I just didn't like the character. But it's interesting to see the character, like you said, recognize certain things or see things that are going on, and definitely is attuned in this episode to what Nora is doing.
Well, that and have your smart people be smart.
Well, yeah, you have Sisko, who's literally a fucking egghead, and like, and he is. I mean, let's for lack of a better word, but of course he's gonna figure it out with the vibes. Like, it makes sense, right? He should know. He's seen fucking Barry do this how many times now? He should know.
You egghead.
He even says it too. He goes, man, I should have known.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you should have. That's why you're leaving the show.
Leaving or being removed.
I'm not sure which one. But no, Bob, I did like how they figured out the whole situation. And I loved how she walks in the room and they're all staring at her like, you've been going back in time, huh?
Yeah, like, that's what's funny is I wanted to know who in the room pieced it together really and told everybody else.
Yeah.
Was it Sisko, you think, or was
probably,
it Sherlock?
It was probably a mix of Sisko and Sherlock. Mm. It's Sherlock. Get it right.
Like Tone Loke?
Yes. Kind of the same thing. Just one smarter and doesn't have a deep voice. And they don't do the funky Comedina.
Well, I bet you Sisko does the funky Comedina.
Anyways, all right, so we're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Reverse Flash and some of his plan. But first, a quick break.
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Geek Out Saturday.
Like, the Force is the Force. Let it be ambiguous. Let's not weigh it down with any little, hey, I can control it with a rock. I'm a Jedi now because I have a blue stone in my pocket.
Running throughout them. But the last few that he's done have met with universal scorn. I mean,
I don't want her anywhere near Arrow.
Yeah, no, like, she is the Stephen Amell, the Grant Gustin.
Yes.
Wasn't an iconic director by any means, but he did make his mark in the 60s and 70s with movies like this. I know we're joking because that's what we do.
The idea that it could be used against the Nephilim. That whole, right. There's this multiple times now they've said there's only five beings in all of creation that it can't kill. They're saying that for a reason.
Catch up on your favorite Rain Man digital geek shows every Saturday. DC on CW, Back to Tank, Weird West Radio, The Crossroads, and more. Geek Out Saturday on Rain Man Channel 001. Listen for the Rain Man digital app or tune in. Just search RM Channel 001.
All right, guys, we are back. And in this segment here, we're going to go through the Reverse Flash. Now, we have been seeing the Reverse Flash show up because we know Nora has been talking to him. And I guess I can speak for all three of us in here that we got that shifty vibe from Nora because she's been talking to the Reverse Flash. And that's really what I wanted to talk about. Our perception or our opinion of Nora, has that changed because of her decisions, A, with the timeline, and B, with talking to Reverse Flash? And I'll tell you right now, I'll start right off the bat. I have a theory, and I'm going to get to that here in a second, but I feel like Nora, my thoughts on her are 50-50. I still think she's a touch annoying, but she's also supposed to be what, like 20? So, okay. I think 20-year-olds are annoying anyways. So that's that. Sorry. If you're 20 and you listen to the show, you're probably not, but,
not annoying or not listening to the show.
one or the other.
Yes.
I also, the other half of me thinks that she feels like she's doing the right thing. And that's, I'll leave it there. Steve, what do you think? Has your opinion of her changed since we first saw her?
I want her to not be a horrible choice maker, but like father, like daughter, I actually really like her as a character. There's a warmth to her that she brings to the screen that I really enjoy.
Is this because you've seen her naked in something else?
No, I mean she
naked in Black Sails.
Yeah, she's not horrible to look at. but no, she brings a warmth to the show that it's endearing. There's an endearing quality to her. But knowing that she's in cahoots, like you see her flip on a dime. Like even within a singular episode, you see her just completely flip, and then it calls into question her motives. And is she trustworthy? And then that's where my spidey sense starts tingling, and I'm like, I don't know if I like her.
So is that like your head spider sense or like your crotchal region spider sense? Which one starts tingling?
Crotchal region. Okay. Both.
Bobby, what about you? I know you.
No, my opinion of her, it's now annoying for me.
Yeah.
She went from like this cutesy bumbling person to this just almost pinky in the brain type scenario with her.
What do you want to do tonight, Nora? Try to take over the world.
Yeah. You know, where she's just fumbling around and the brain's sitting there going, you need to go back and do this.
That's fair. But like last night's episode, when she, the first, you know, couple of times she screwed up, by the time I think she got to the third or fourth, the emotion that she conveyed, like she was almost on the verge of a nervous breakdown or an emotional breakdown because everybody that she has grown to care about was dying no matter what she did. So there was a real fragility to her that I appreciate, and the way that the actress is conveying that. I really appreciate that. But damn if she's not making bad decisions.
So I think my theory on Nora is kind of a two-parter. So I think what they're doing with her is they're trying to make her look, especially with this episode in general, they're trying to make her look naive or stupid. And I think they're doing that because, A, I think they have an idea that people are kind of like Bobby and they're getting this annoying vibe from her. And then I also feel like they're making her look dumb or naive so that when Barry finds out she's working with the Reverse Flash, it makes more sense. It makes sense because she is naive. It makes sense to the viewer and Barry, because at that point we are going to have this. We know, but at the same time, we're going to have that same emotion that Barry has when she tells him, right?
Yeah,
or she finds out. So I think it's a two-parter. I think there's that. They're making her look dumb and naive, but they're also doing this because I think she truly believes she's doing the right thing. She's doing this with Reverse Flash to stop Cicada. And if you look at it from her point of view of being from 2049, she goes to the Flash Museum. Cicada's the only bad guy that, you know, and dad disappears after fighting Cicada. why wouldn't she talk to the person who has the most experience with Flash? Would be the Reverse Flash, right? So why wouldn't she ask him? And he's contained, right? He's in prison. So why wouldn't she ask him
with a countdown clock that they still haven't talked about?
Right, they still haven't talked about that. But so I feel like she's doing this in the right place to try to save Dad and the team, because she knows the fate. She knows their fate. And I feel like she's doing this for the right reasons, but she also is incredibly naive. And she doesn't know the mysteries and the things that are left out of the Flash Museum that the Reverse Flash did. Do you remember a couple episodes ago when Barry tells her that the Reverse Flash killed his mom?
Yeah.
Her face was I didn't know that, and oh my God, kind of look on her face.
Which is weird, because you'd think a Flash Museum might have that little detail.
That's
somewhere.
Not a detail that's out there for everyone to know.
Clearly.
So I feel like that's something, again, they're making her look incredibly naive.
No,
so,
I think you're right.
And it makes sense. What do we know about the Reverse Flash? He's incredibly smart, right? And he is the, I guess for the lack of a better term, he's a chess player. Mm-hmm. He knows what he has to do to manipulate the Flash. He's the one that knows the Flash the best. Why would it makes perfect sense for her to go to him? Who knows her? Who knows Dad better than Mom? Mom's not going to tell me about Dad. Mom's a bitch. I mean, right? Am I wrong? Like in 2049, we see.
Well, that's her perception, is that she's a bitch, but.
She legitimately, Reverse Flash is the only person she can talk to.
But again, she's a bitch because look what Nora's done this whole time.
But we also know that the Reverse Flash has ulterior motives. He always has ulterior motives.
He doesn't give a shit about Nora.
Nope. He doesn't give a shit about Barry either.
No.
I think
he's got that countdown clock, and they got to figure out he needs to get out of there.
Yeah. He's got a clock. He's on the clock.
I think this is a, and Bobby, I think you brought this up a couple episodes ago. This is a prime way to bring the Reverse Flash for next season's big bad.
Well, and think about it. How poignant is it that for a speedster, a time traveling speedster, he's on the clock. There is a countdown for him. Like, there's something really deep there. I just want them to get on with. I want to know what it is. Stop teasing my prick.
I mean, wow. I feel like it has to be execution.
You think that who's going to execute him? You think the Selly's in is like a saw trap?
No, or what if it's this?
I still think it's the Black Flash coming.
Or what if it's the Cure?
The band?
No. Oh my God, you're so stupid. What if it's the Medicure? What if the countdown is he gets administered gassed? The Medicure.
Well, then why wouldn't she be trying to stop Cisco the whole time somehow?
Well, but that's the thing. She doesn't have to.
Well, do you think she knows what the clock is?
No. Maybe. So my thought process is, instead of obviously executing him, right? Why not give him the cure, and now he can't go back in time, and he's not a speedster anymore. Why wouldn't you do that? That would be the ultimate F you to someone who can travel in time and feels like a god, which Reverse Flash we know
more or less is.
Yeah. So talk about an ultimate, and bring it full circle too with what we're working on with Cisco.
Hmm.
So I feel like that would definitely, again, that would definitely make him want to work like to help Nora. Maybe she can sabotage. But what if, now the other theory that I was thinking about too is, we know that Reverse Flash and Flash go hand in hand, right? They're the yin and yang. What if Reverse Flash genuinely wants to help Nora to fight Cicada because his ultimate foe is lost after Cicada wins? So he goes,
he has to have it. He has to have Barry. Batman needs the Joker, yes. And vice versa. You can't have one without the other.
So for the comic book fan, that's the three of us that are comic fans, that is the ultimate comic book story, right?
Destined to do that dance for all of eternity.
Exactly. So what if his whole thought process on this is actually because he wants Barry to defeat Cicada so he doesn't disappear in the future, and now he has someone to battle?
Barry completes him.
Yes. That is the ultimate comic book story.
Yeah.
it would make total sense.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what I'm leaning towards.
Okay.
Is that, but then the clock in the background confuses me. And I think that's the one thing that we need to figure out.
Maybe that's just timer for when the cookies are done.
What kind of cookies do you think Reverse Flash likes?
I don't know.
He looks like a sugar cookie guy.
Sugar?
Yeah.
Oatmeal.
Oatmeal? You think he's a... Really?
Yeah.
Man, oatmeal cookies are horrible.
Oatmeal raisins are fucking delicious. What's wrong with you?
I'm not they 82.
Wow. It's not like he said I like Werther's.
I'm not like that. I'm like, ginger snaps.
It's ginger snaps.
I like to dip them in the coffee.
Oh my God. God, dude, oatmeal raisins are horrible.
Oh, they're delicious, especially if they got craisins in them.
Dude, no. Wrong. You guys are both wrong.
All right, well.
We'll have a discussion about cookies later.
Oh, but no, I kick you in the cookies.
I think ultimately it's something like that. If the theory was because he needs his yin to his yang, that would make the ultimate comic book sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it says a comic book show. I don't know if they forgot that in the writing room, but I don't know.
Maybe they'll have an episode where they go back in time and fix the order of the episodes.
Berlanti goes back in time and has him come back separately. You know what? I think what I do like about this, what we've seen so far with Nora and with Reverse Flash, is that the scenes make sense. And I'm always been on the fence with flashbacks and flash forwards and fucking shit. We've learned all kinds of different names for these things on the Flash, but they have to make sense with what we're doing. And I think it's very interesting to me that she just runs there real quick and boom, she's in 2049. Like, she's obviously mastered time travel, but she can't master 52 times. Also, did you guys like how it was 52?
Everything's always 52. Do you think her screwing up so much is why Crisis happens early?
No. If they make an infinite Crisis on her shoulders, that is dumb. I do not.
But it was supposed to happen in 2024, and we obviously know it's happening in 2020 or 2019.
Right, but like, you're going to base this entire huge monster, a mega crossover with like galactic implications on Nora West Allen?
Well, her having it early. Cicada showed up early. Flash showed up early.
Maybe.
It's causing Crisis to happen prematurely.
Yeah, not that it was always going to happen. It's just happening earlier than we thought.
I think it would be better if it was Reverse Flash who's the one that...
Well, again, he's technically pulling the strings.
He's pulling the strings.
I guess that's true. He is the puppet master.
It's it's a premature crisis. Premature rebirth.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's actually good. I don't... Maybe. I mean, I guess that would make sense.
Look, after 52 times of her fucking something up, this could have been the ultimate catalyst.
Over on Arrow, it goes from Diggle Jr. to the daughter again, back to Diggle Jr.
her dick keeps growing and going back in. Boobs are like growing and then they go back in. Boop, boop, boop. Connor Hawks got like...
What? Or in one timeline, he has like 12 children.
Oh my God. Yeah. 12 Connor Hawks?
Yeah.
Connor Cock. obviously we're going to have to see. I mean, how many more episodes do we have? Six?
What?
No, we have eight.
Supernatural, it has 20.
That's right. Yeah, so
we're at 22 or 23. 20,
okay,
I'm not sure where it
so
is.
So we're like eight.
We're getting there.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we got to start ramping it up, I think, in the next couple episodes.
Yeah, we've been talking about it. It's got to happen. Something's got to happen.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's jump into our final thoughts of the episode. Steve, why don't you go first?
I actually really enjoyed this one a lot. I like the Groundhog Day trope. I liked, like I said earlier, it's poetic. There's a rhyme to it, and the fact that we saw Barry do it, now we've seen her do it. We never really saw Wally do it, did we?
No.
So, I mean, kind of a missed opportunity there to have Wally make some of those mistakes. I think there's an interesting possibility if you ever had Reverse Flash go and do it. Like, there's something, it's almost like one of those issues when you read it and it's like just goofy and campy, but in this case it wasn't.
But those are fun, man.
They're fun, and in this case it wasn't campy. It was sad because of what we saw happen time and time again. There was an emotional impact every single time it happened, and I really like that. To your point, Ryan, I think there's something to her naivete and then playing that up. I think it's playing a pivotal role in what's going on with the overall plot. Even though it felt like a filler, it in some ways it was way better filler than, let's say, the last two or three where we really looked at it and was like, wow, that's a filler. I don't know. I really liked it.
And I always go with the fact that if it's easy to talk about,
it worked.
Little behind the scenes, our notes were pretty bare today because I felt like we could have a discussion about this episode without me having to try to fill in a bunch of blanks.
Yeah.
And that's when you know it's a decent filler type episode to where it's not like a struggle bus to try to get content out of the show.
There was a lot of good stuff that we could discuss or hypothesize about, and if anything, it raised more questions, I think, now than we had coming into it.
And again, I think my only issue with this episode was the order of operations here, to where I started wandering in my head and again questioning my TV watching ability, because I was like, did I just not get last week's episode?
No, and that was going to be the one caveat to my statements of really liking the episode, is now that you've pulled the curtain back, as it were, and we now see the Oz behind the curtain. There's something weird going on here, and maybe it'll be interesting when it finally hits a streaming service if we see those episodes show up in a different order.
They won't change that.
No, they didn't do it on the Supergirl one.
So I agree with Steve, man. I actually like this episode. It's fun. Bob had to ruin it and.
Not ruin it. I just wanted to confirm I'm not crazy.
I'm just kidding. No, I agree with your assessment on that. I feel like they could have been switched. But I definitely dug the episode. I thought, what they did was they're adding to Nora, and obviously she's going to play a pivotal part in the ending of the season. And I think that this was a good episode to show some levity and also kind of that she does give a shit about the team. It's just, we feel like our judgment on her is clouded because of her working with a Reverse Flash. But as far as that, man, I the episode was fun. And I think that's what we needed. We need a nice, fun episode if we're going to be on a three-week break. Because if we would have ended on a sad note, it would have been like, fuck, that's a three long weeks. So this was a nice ending for a three-week break to end on. But fun episode. Okay. That's going to do it, guys, today for DC on CW, the Flash edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the DCOnCW.com website. You can also follow us on social media, Twitter at DCOnCW, Facebook.com/DCOnCW, and Instagram at DC_on_CW. With that, guys, we'll see you next in 3 weeks. Almost said next week. That would have been a lie. That would have been a lie. All right, next month. Woo!
People want cuddles.